again. And I sure would appreciate everybody's prayer. I wasn't supposed to preach this Sunday, but Gordon called me and he was sick and he asked me if I would. But you know, even though I wasn't supposed to preach this Sunday, all week I've had a lot of thoughts on my mind. I haven't had much time to get them together. But I feel they're important. I'm going to start this morning by reading scripture out of the third chapter of Alma. First, this may not sound anything like what my sermon is going to be, but hopefully I can tie it together so you can understand the point I was trying to make. I'm going to start at the 27th verse. And now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received His image in your countenances? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your hearts? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of Him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourselves that ye hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth? Or do ye imagine to yourselves that ye can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteousness, our righteous works upon the face of the earth, and that He will save you? Or otherwise, can ye imagine yourselves brought before the tribunal of God, your souls filled with guilt and remorse, having a remembrance of all your guilt, yea, a perfect remembrance of all your wickedness, yea, a remembrance that ye have set at defiance the commandments of God? I say unto you, can ye look up to God at that day with a pure heart and clean hands? I say unto you, can ye look up, having the image of God engraven in your countenances? Can we see in each other that image of God in our works, in our lives, and in ourselves? This is what He's talking about. We're looking in ourselves now. I say unto you, can you think of being saved and you have yielded yourself to become subjects to the devil? I say unto you, you will know at that day that ye cannot be saved, for there can no man be saved except his garments are washed white. Yea, his garments must be purified until they are cleansed from all stain, through the blood of Him of who it has been spoken by our fathers, who should come to redeem His people from their sins. And now I ask of you, my brethren, how will any of you feel if ye shall stand before the bar of God, having your garments stained with blood and all manner of filthiness? Behold, what will these things testify against you? I'm going to skip now. The 44th verse. Behold, my brethren, do ye suppose that such... Well, I better read it. Behold, I'm going to start to go back to the 42nd verse. Behold, what will these things testify against you? Behold, will they not testify that ye are murderers, yea, and also that ye are guilty of all manner of wickedness? Behold, my brethren, do ye suppose that such an one can have a place to sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and also with all the holy prophets whose garments are cleansed and are spotless, pure and white? I say unto you, nay, except ye make our Creator a liar from the beginning, or suppose that He is a liar from the beginning, ye cannot suppose that such can have a place in the kingdom of heaven. But they should be cast out, for they are the children of the kingdom of the devil. And now, behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change in your heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can ye feel so now? Have ye walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Could you say, if you were called to die at this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, who will come to redeem his people from their sins? This is questions that he's asking us, each one. When we look at our life, can we say that we've been sufficiently humble? And everybody's going to have to judge within themselves. We shouldn't judge each other. Behold, ye stripped of pride, I say unto you, if ye are not prepared to meet God. But this is the point I want to make right here, the 51st verse. Behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand, and such a one hath not eternal life. He was talking about this time, the coming of Christ, when he was born. But I want to speak today about the coming of Christ again. I say unto you that such an one is not prepared, and I would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such an one is not found blameless. I say unto you again, is there any among you that doth make mock of his brother, or that heapeth upon him persecutions? Woe unto such an one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand that he must repent, or he cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity, repent, repent, for the Lord God hath spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness, and ye shall not be hewn down and cast into the fire. For behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same have cause to wail and mourn. You know, I'm going to read more in the Bible and Book of Mormon today about the time in which we live. We each know that it's in the latter day, but I have the feeling that sometimes, this has been a big thought in my mind, how much do we really realize is about to happen? We have had such prosperity in this nation that our eyes have been closed to what's been happening around. Our eyes are closed to how short time is. I'm going to turn to the 24th chapter of Matthew. And similar scriptures found in Mark the 13th chapter and Luke the 21st chapter. But I wanted to read this because it says it in a way that I'm going to start in the third verse. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you know, right now in my room, at home, I have a paper that was written in the Arizona Republic, an article that says the Christ is now here. It's about a man that they say is the Christ, and he's supposed to show himself and be on world broadcast. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And we see today all the wars, all over the nations of the world. There's almost not one nation untouched by it. Wars and civil wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these things at the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And that's something else that we see today. The love of many waxed cold. Divorce rates jump sky high. People think anymore that you can get married as many times as you want. You don't have to get married. You can just live with the person. I see very few people that are determined in this generation to have that kind of marriage and love that would seem through the years. But when trials and temptations come, they think, well, it's because of the other person, and they just give up on them. And it turns to a hate, not a love. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, let him which is on the housetop come not down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Part of these things haven't happened yet, but the time is short. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake those days should be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even into the west, so shall also coming of the Son of Man be. I'm going to skip 32nd verse. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. I also want you to notice the 36th verse. But at that day and hour no man knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And, but as in the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until that day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And today is just like that. We see all around us today, and I've heard people make the statements at school, party all you can. Go out and have fun. Don't worry about anything. We're all going to die anyway. I want to read some verses out of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. This is also a definition of the latter day. First verse in the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now I can look at each of these definitions and point out all these things today. The last one I read, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Going to California last weekend and coming home, what did I see on the highways? But people weren't going to church. They had their boats and all sorts of things for pleasure, and they were going out and to have fun. They weren't going out. They weren't going to church. And I see and I hear a lot of people today, especially in schools, everybody's getting a four-wheel drive, and the weekends are for fun. They're not for serving God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, today, there's so many definitions that the Bible gave us of how the date would be. And the Book of Mormon, I'm going to read that next. And they've all come so true to the letter. And still, sometimes I forget how short time goes back, how fast time goes by. Started high school as a freshman and had 4 years to go, and that 4 years is up just like that, and I was wishing that I could have been back then. I didn't have to leave. And now, the years go by so fast. How much time do we have? I'm going to read in the fourth chapter of Mormon. Page 707 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read in the 28th verse. Yea, behold, I say unto you that those saints who have gone before me, who have possessed this land, shall cry, yea, even from the dust will they cry unto the Lord. And as the Lord liveth, he will remember the covenant which he hath made with them. And he knoweth their prayers, that they are in behalf of their brethren. And he knoweth their faith, for in his name could they remove mountains, and in his name could they cause the earth to shake, and by the power of his word did they cause prisons to tumble to the earth. Yea, even the fiery furnaces could not harm them, neither wild beasts nor poisonous serpents, because of the power of his word. And behold, their prayers were also on behalf of him that the Lord should suffer to bring these things forth. And no one need say that they come not forth, for they surely shall, for the Lord hath spoken it. For out of the earth shall they come by the hand of the Lord, and none shall stay it. And that was talking about the Book of Mormon. And it shall come in a day when it shall be said that miracles are done away, and it shall come even as one should speak from the dead. And it shall come in a day when the blood of the saints shall cry unto the Lord because of the secret combinations and the works of darkness. Yea, it shall come in a day when the power of God shall be denied and the churches become defiled and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts. Yea, even in a day when leaders of churches and teachers in the pride of their hearts, even to the envying of them who belong to their church. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be heard of fires and tempests and vapors of smoke in foreign lands, and there shall also be heard of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in divers places. Yea, and it shall come in a day when there shall be great pollutions upon the face of the earth. There shall be murders and robbing and lying and deceivings and whoredoms and all manner of abominations. And when there shall be many who will say, do this or do that, and it mattereth not, for the Lord will uphold such at the last day. But woe unto such, for they are in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. Yea, it shall come in a day when there shall be churches built up that shall say, come unto me, and for your money you shall be forgiven of your sins. How often do we see that today? O ye wicked and perverse, stiff-necked people, why have you built up churches unto yourselves to get gain? And this is Mormon looking down into our day. Why have you transfigured the holy word of God that you might bring damnation upon your souls. Behold, look ye unto the revelations of God. For behold, the time cometh at that day when all these things must be fulfilled. Behold, the Lord has shown unto me great and marvelous things concerning that which must shortly come at that day when these things shall come forth among you. Behold, I speak unto you as if ye were present, and yet ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ is shown you unto me, and I know your doing, and I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts, and there are none, save a few only, who do not lift themselves up in the pride of their hearts, unto the wearing of very fine apparel, unto envying and strifes, and malice and persecutions, and all manner of iniquity. And your churches, yea, every one, have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts. For behold, ye do love money and your substances and your fine apparel, and the adorning of your churches more than you love the poor and the needy, the sick and the afflicted. O ye pollutions, ye hypocrites, ye teachers who sell yourselves for that which will canker, why have ye polluted the holy church of God? And this was, he's looking back to the time that the Book of Mormon would come forth, and before and after. Why are ye ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ? And this next verse, something that's been so much on my mind. Why do you not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness than that misery which never dies because of the praising of the world? I think anybody that would think of that, sure, we know that greater is the value of endless happiness than taking our part with the world. We might not have as much fun here as some would say if we don't get in the world, but greater is the value of the endless happiness. Why do you adorn yourselves with that which hath no life, and yet suffer the hungry and the needy and the naked, and the sick and the afflicted to pass by you and notice them not? Yea, why do you build up your secret abominations to get gain, and cause that widows should mourn before the Lord, and also orphans to mourn before the Lord, and also the blood of their fathers and their husbands to cry unto the Lord from the ground for vengeance upon your heads? Behold, the sword of vengeance hangeth over you, and the time soon cometh that he avengeth the blood of the saints upon you, for he will not suffer their cries any longer. And now I speak also concerning those who do not believe in Christ. Behold, will ye believe in the day of your visitation? And there's many today that don't believe in Christ. Many. The atheists don't believe in any God. And he was looking into our day, and I think he saw so much that this bit so is happening so much today. I want to go to Matthew, the 25th chapter. I want to go to the 24th chapter again. And I also want you to keep in your minds what Daniel said about the last day, that was told Daniel about the last day, when that book should come forth, that knowledge would be increased, and we can see that too. I'm going to start in the 42nd chapter, 24th chapter again. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his house, hold to give the meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I'm going to read the 25th chapter and start the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. I believe when he's talking here, he's talking about the church. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Wherefore, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now I had so many thoughts, and this is not, I have more that I have to bring out. We know that the time's coming. We can see the prophecies being fulfilled. We know that they're coming. We've had in many modern day revelation, I have a book or a notebook that I have full of revelations that have come to men in the church. And as I look through them, very few don't speak of Christ coming soon. Very few. Some of them mention it, that he is coming quickly. And most of these were back in the 50s and the 60s. How soon is soon? 30 years? I'd say yes. If we knew that Christ was coming a year from today, what would we be doing? I hope that we'd be preparing ourselves, but like I said, we don't know the day nor the time, but I want to read something else. I'm going to read now. I'm on the 10th chapter. And this too, it's on page 351 in the Book of Mormon. This too is when he was looking forward to his first coming. But I believe the same is holding true to his second coming. And I'm going to start in the 24th verse. "And now we only wait to hear the joyful news declared unto us by the mouth of angels of his coming. For the time cometh, we know not how soon. Would to God that it might be in my day, but let it be sooner or later, in it I will rejoice." The point I want to make there is so many people, prophets that have lived, have so long to live in this day. And sometimes we ask ourselves, why? Why would they want to live in the way the world is today and in this? They wanted to live in this day because they knew of the second coming of the Lord. And you know, I've seen the church move. I've seen movement in the church. The people growing closer together with each other and with the Lord. But I feel so impressed to say, like it says in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, when we think we're standing, we've got to be careful, we're going to fall. And I don't think we should let this go to our minds, but we should still be humble about it, and we should keep growing. There's much to be finished and to do before the Lord comes. We can't make a mistake now and think we're standing and fall. We've got to keep moving forward. "And it shall be made known unto just and holy men by the mouth of angels at the time of his coming, that the words of our fathers may be fulfilled according to that which hath been spoken concerning him, which was according to the spirit of prophecy which was in them. And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that you would hearken unto my words, and cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. You know, I think of a manifestation given by Brother Jordan. It starts, "O my people, O my people, hear my voice to you this day. I have spoken, few have heeded. Soon will dawn millennium's day. Get ye up to the high tower I have bid you occupy. Or view the nations far and near, ruled by fear midst great confusion, thus preparing Zion's war." And there are others, and I'm going to read one today. So many of them that I believe, as the scripture said, came forth by just and holy men through the spirit of prophecy for our edification. And now, my brethren, I wish from the inmost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even in the pain, that you would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that you would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at the last day and enter into his rest. And may the Lord grant unto you repentance, and that ye may not bring down his wrath upon you, that ye may not be bound by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death. I want to read a dream given to my Uncle Skeet. In 1956, it seems that I was in a small room of the church studying for a sermon. In the main room of the church, people were holding a service. I seemed to realize at the end of that service, everyone was expected to attend the meal or a feast. As I expected to go with the others to the feast, I suddenly realized that I did not have much time left in which to study, and I found that my sermon was not yet complete. In other words, I began to see that my work was not done, and time was running out. At this time in my dream, I rose from my desk and walked across the room to look at a clock on the wall. To my surprise, it was 5 minutes until midnight. My surprise was great because until this moment I had supposed it to be yet daytime. I stepped outside the front door of the church and the street was filled with people, all going in one direction, all in a hurry as though they did not have a moment to waste. I seemed to realize that they were all going to the feast and there was only 5 minutes left to get there. The street in front of the church seemed to be the only street occupied by people. The rest of the streets, that is, the side streets, were empty and dark. The people were in their houses asleep. In one yard next to the church, I saw people sitting idle, doing nothing, apparently not concerned why the people of the one street were in a hurry or where they were going. They did not care if the hour was late. As I looked at the people going by, I began to notice that many of them I knew, and oh, how I loved them. At this point in the dream, I realized that my sister Evelina and many of the other saints that I knew were standing with me. And they did not know those that were going to the feast. And they did not know some of those that were passing by. It seemed that my love for those who were going to the feast was equal to the love that I had for those who were standing with me. And I longed in my heart for them to know each other. And that point that was made by Alma in here in this dream, that point of love. I'm not going to finish this yet. I'm going to turn to the 22nd chapter of Matthew. And this was something else that just popped in my mind. this week. I'm going to read 36th verse to the 40th verses. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I never realized what that 40th verse meant, or it never really hit me. If we keep those first two commandments, we'll keep the other commandments, because the other commandments were based on that love, and that's what the commandments were based on. Dealing justly one with another and our neighbors, ourselves. And this is why we have great love for each other, as was talked about here in the dream. He realized that he had just as much love for the people that were walking by as he did with his sister and those standing with him. And that's the love that we have to have. And what does it say in Peter? Charity shall cover a multitude of sins. That love that we have, that pure love, that's what's got to help us. And if we can't have love, we can't keep those commandments. And those first two commandments, every other commandment is built on those two. They're the key, because if we keep those, we'll keep the others. I began to stop those whom I knew, and I began to introduce them to those who were with me. As I did this, they would put their arms around one another and go on together in great happiness. At this point, I returned to my study and began to study in great haste, realizing that it was much later than I had thought, and that time was running out. And you know, time goes by so fast, and things can happen so fast. This was in 1956. He also had another dream that Jay read last Sunday. No, the Sunday before that. And then above the mountaintop, he saw letters that spelled out 2000. And then I have a dream here from the brother in Yucatan. This is in front of a huge house. I was standing and looking at the setting sun over the mountains with a strong and strange brilliance. Suddenly there emerged under the sun four numbers. The numbers were 1997, and below the numbers there were some letters which read, and upon reading all this, I awoke. You know, like Uncle Skeet said when he read this, we don't know the time nor the hour that the Lord's going to come. But He's given us a chance to see the time which we live by the things that He proclaimed that we're going to be. And we see Him all around us in the world. The mark of the beast, it's not here yet, but I'll tell you, it's so close. And it's being set up at this moment. There's so many things that are happening right now. They're preparing the way to fulfill all this, and when Christ comes, it will all be fulfilled. Yes, we know not the hour nor time when He comes, but we know that by the day which we live and the things we see and those things that were prophesied we're going to be, we know that the time is short. And we know that ourselves and me, I'm not ready. And we have to grow closer together in love, as Jay said. We've got to have that covenant with each other, that covenant of love. And until we can covenant with each other and with God, we're not going to be standing where we should stand. But we can't also think that we're standing, because we have to take heed lest we fall. And like I said, many, many have wished that they could live in this day. But we have the privilege of living in this day, and I think we should make the best of it. I'm reminded so much, as I told you, I have this book of manifestations, and I read, and I've read through all of them that I have, and I have a good number of them. There's almost none of them. There are almost all of them, I should say. Say that the time is short. Many of them date back. But the scriptures show us the time is short. So we must repent and grow in this love that's talked about. The love that Uncle Skeet saw in that dream that we had to have for each other, and that covenant that we had to have with each other, that we could go on together in joy. And the love that Alma talked about, that same love, that pure love, which is charity, the same love that Peter talked about and said, charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And then the love that Christ talked about, the first love, which is God, and all our heart with Him, and the second, which is love our neighbors as ourself. And when we keep these two commandments, we're keeping the commandments, because the commandments were built up on that love, dealing justly with each other. Thank you.